Okay, it's Friday. It's just after 11, 5 past 11, and it is That's Entertainment. And back, despite popular demand, we have in studio with us Michael Leddy. Good morning, Michael.
Hello, Greg Hughes.
And Fionnuala Rabbit as well. Hi, Fionnuala.
Good morning.
How are you all getting on? How's your week, Michael?
Good. Not good enough. Not so great that I got to meet the president, but I had a great week nonetheless. It was a great week, TV-wise and other stuff, scripting and
so
actors and all that kind of
right
stuff.
Circles.
How was your week? Yeah,
my week was very exciting. Yeah. We got to meet the president and lovely chat with his first lady. I don't know, do we call her the first lady?
No,
in fairness.
No, I don't think so. Everyone just seems to call her by her first name.
I know. It's very weird.
I'm going to meet. Fionnuala was chatting to her for about 25 minutes. At one point, I felt like being security. Right, okay, moving along now. Right, okay. It was a big week. Russell Crowe was in town.
Yes.
Keating,
yes.
Ryan Tuberty.
Ryan Tuberty.
Remains hugely popular. People were saying, you know, why are you chatting to him and all that kind of stuff. So there's still a lot of people don't really get him. And also now, apparently, I'm part of the New World Order and I'm bought and paid for because I went to the Aris. So that's evidence.
Okay. Yeah.
That's evidence.
That seems
now
like a perfectly logical argument.
I'm doing the government's work effectively.
Yeah.
I'm part of the cartel.
You are part of the. Yep, I can totally see the logic there.
That's what you get. You see, you get to listen to Dermot Kennedy up close. You have to pay the price.
Yeah.
Apparently that's
she was giving out. We had front row seats. We were literally behind the president. She was giving out. Have I done something wrong? Why are we sitting up the front? Like, you want to be at the back smoking?
You want to be one of the cool kids.
But we had great seats. We were very lucky. It was just actually a whirlwind week.
It would have been, yes.
It was, absolutely. And to be honest, just to make it clear to you, it wasn't a government thing at all. It had to do with the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland. And as
to recognise the contribution of local radio to supporting Irish
to launch Irish Music Month 2024. So get all our budding songwriters out there, get your pens and paper out and whatever, knuckle down. I don't know how people write songs because it would be totally beyond my abilities.
I think I could. I don't think I could do the music, but I think I could do
the
some
lyrics.
Good words.
Oh,
yeah.
God,
clever
I'd be
words.
Terrible at it.
I actually have notes
but we will
on the
be
phone
launching
somewhere where I wrote a song.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. You should totally see.
Like clever lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
should
Is it handy?
Well, we will put it together when we're doing the...
No, I can't find it.
Oh, you looked really... I could see you looking so hard.
But you know
also, too... When we do the launch, you can put it together for the launch of the... It'll be in a few weeks' time. We'll be actually launching it here at the station, and hopefully then the competition will be running in September.
So we had the finalists from Donegal down there as selected by the audience here that were down there, which was lovely to see them. And we Maeve, and we had the winner, the overall winner of the Irish Music Month competition, is now going on to support Billy Joel in London.
Amazing.
Another act that we saw is supporting Coldplay. In Croke Park. Do you know what I mean? So it was recognising the role local radio has in supporting Irish music. And to be honest with you, it's nice that it's not actually... You would imagine there's only one show in town and that's the Nationals that are supporting an industry. We do it all the time.
Yep.
They do weekends, they do hours. We're doing it all the time. Mm. And even Dermot Kennedy himself, the
Absolutely.
Most played artist in the country, had to say that it was... radio, community radio, local radio that actually gave him the platform and the confidence and the exposure to become what he's become, which is a global superstar.
That's it, yeah, and how supported he feels as an artist in Ireland and that kind of thing. It was very encouraging, I have to say, for artists. Now, it was I'm going to say videoed, which is obviously the wrong word. I'm sure there's another word for it.
Filmed? I think videoed is fine.
Is it filmed? Yeah. Anyway, so it will be available somewhere. So when we find out exactly when they have it up somewhere, we must let people know. Because even the way the artist spoke, and Michael D spoke beautifully as well about it, he's always been a big supporter of the arts also of radio. So it just was a very nice... thank you to radio, which is obviously the reason why we're here, is thank you to our listeners.
Really, so it's combination. Yourself on the back, so it's nice to sort of see it. Shobzy was there as well. I wasn't really familiar with him. I think he's going to be...
Never heard of him before in my life.
He
was brilliant.
Something else. And he sang a song, just walked up to a piano, was there, sat down, sang a song that he hadn't yet named, and I think it's got Hit written all over it. So,
As I say, we don't get often...
You know,
go on Spotify and check him out or whatever, if you might. That's probably where he has stuff up at the moment. Yeah.
And we don't get to, very often, we actually don't get to sort of rub shoulders and get down there. We're often forgotten, so it was nice. And sort of we went down there representing the whole county as well. So,
absolutely.
And when Dermot says to me, he says, Greg, is there any chance of a quick picture? Like, it was absolutely... I thought, you know what, Pet, come on then.
Okay, Dermot. He was very nice, actually. He did so many nice videos for everything.
He's annoyingly talented, nice, and handsome.
And in fairness,
absolutely
he ticks a lot of boxes.
So that was lovely. And then, as I say, Russell Crowe.
Yes, lovely.
I know.
Lovely,
You know, to see him in Muff.
I don't know why I wasn't brought there. I would have been so good if you brought me. I promise. I would not have been fawning. I would not have been, you know, going, oh my God,
Said, who's this? Like, I was front and centre for everything. Like, I had all the interviews done before they'd even got into the building. You know what I mean? It was like, but anyway, good fun. And all that's available on our social media as well, by the way. So, as I say, a nice week for Donegal. That whole promotional thing of Muff Liquor Look at the end of the day, I don't know, we're probably not going to get a ton of advertisement out of it, but you have to recognise it because it's going to be a global brand now, and it's turning eyes on Donegal and Inishowen. So that's the bigger picture of it.
Absolutely.
Right, okay, both of you watched Beverly Hills Cop Axel F on Netflix.
Okay.
We talked about last week, I think you were rewatching some of the older shows, and we were talking about the sequels being good and all that kind of stuff. So for a different a perspective, maybe not as big a fan as you, I don't know, we'll start with you, Fionnuala. Or are you a massive Beverly Hills Cop fan?
No, I just enjoyed it back in the 80s, back in the day when it happened. And they were just kind of fun. There was always lots of explosions. It was kind of like, I don't know, like Taken, but with a laugh. You know, that sort of way. It just was like, all these explosions and running around the place. There's some very good character actors involved in it that kind of stayed through all the three movies. So that was really just I kind of had a sentimental feeling towards it. And to be honest, I don't know about Michael, but I thought that this one held up. Now, it wasn't quite as explosive and stuff, but the story was decent enough. It held up, as in there was a bit of laughs and a bit of funny. He didn't go too far into kind of his character. You know, sometimes he can be a little bit over the top, Eddie Murphy, with his kind of
that sort of a weird
laugh. He didn't go too far into that. There was just a nice sprinkle of it that you knew that, you know, everybody had aged, but they were all still there. I enjoyed it, I have to say. I thought, you know, if you're sitting down at the weekend, a movie that could win an Oscar, it's not going to win Oscar. You know what I mean? It's not going to win Oscars or whatever. But definitely, if you want to sit down, watch a movie over the weekend, and you have like a nostalgia for Beverly Hills Cop, I definitely think you won't come away from it disappointed.
Yeah. Could this have been a full-on cinema release?
Yeah, I think it should have been, really. I mean, given the success of the Top Gun movie a couple of years back, I think it should have really... I think the market is there. I think it'll do well over the weekend globally for Netflix. I think people do want to see a good Beverly Hills Cop movie. I think a lot of people loved the franchise, but most people didn't embrace the third movie because it was crap. But there are people who love it, but it was crap.
Is it a buddy movie or...?
No, I wouldn't... that's a good question. It's not a buddy movie in the way like 48
it's
Hours.
It's kind of a fish out of water type thing.
More
the earlier
kind of thing.
Ones was very much a fish out of water, but obviously now he's been to Hollywood.
He looks fantastic. He doesn't look like he's aged a bit.
He doesn't look like he's aged very much at all.
I shouldn't bring age into it, but...
He looks really good, He looks really, really good.
He looks amazing.
He looks really good,
especially when you put him beside the
John Ashton and Judge Reinhold.
They were in the old ones as well. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God, he's been in a time capsule.
They've aged. I think they're a little older anyway, so.
But I just thought it
Paul Reiser looks good. Like, Paul Reiser looks good. The guy who plays his friend back in Detroit. Like, Reiser from Mad About You. He looks amazing as well. Yeah, some people just age very well. And some people were younger at the time when they did those movies. Reiser has, you know, he was in the originals and he was in the Aliens.
I mean, in films you have people who are in the mid-20s and you have people in the mid-40s, and you factor that in, I suppose, as they get a little bit older.
And at that stage, at the point you were chatting about as well, the person in their mid-20s, the person in the mid-40s, they look like contemporaries.
Yeah.
Come back 40 years later to make the same film, it suddenly becomes more obvious, you know. But it works. I mean, the audience have embraced it, I think. 78% on Rotten Tomatoes from the audience. So that's 8 out of 10, 4 out of 5 people liking it so far on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics have embraced it as well. The guy who directed this is a first-time director. This is his first movie. He previously made ads. And that reminds me of Tony Scott. Remember, Tony Scott came from the world of advertising and he made some cracking action movies back in the 90s. So I feel like this guy could be a guy to watch. Mark Malloy is his name. Mark Malloy. I think he knows how to deliver action with comedy. And it's a decent, simple but simple
looks great.
Super plot.
Yeah. Looks great. Doesn't look like they've cut any corners on the budget in terms of... I mean, obviously you can kind of see where things aren't real, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but a lot of it's practical too. Like a lot of it is practical. A lot of it is cars smashing into other cars and trucks smashing into trucks. And a lot of it is practical.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
no tea for you, just for me.
Axel F., what are you giving out of 10?
I'm giving a really... solid 8 out of 10.
I'd like a coffee. Please.
8 out of 10.
One sugar.
Oh, what the heck? Yeah, sure. What the heck? I never say yes to tea. I'll have tea for a change. First time I've ever had tea on air.
Yeah, I'll have coffee if that's okay. Yeah, I'll make you one after 12, Katie. Don't worry.
That's brilliant. Thank you. So a solid 8 out of 10. I really loved it. And I, as I say, I watched 1, 2, and 3 over the last couple of years and I enjoyed the first two, didn't enjoy 3. So I went into this hoping it would be better than 3. And it's way better than 3. It's just so much fun.
And it feels modern, obviously, but it still feels accessible.
And I love the new people. Like, I should give a shout out to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who is a new younger cop who joins him. And Taylor Page playing his daughter, who is gorgeous and really up to the task of playing Axel Foley's daughter. She,
Is this a handover?
I don't know. I honestly don't know, but you could be right. I could see them anchoring a movie.
Really?
I could see them anchoring.
And they were very good in it.
They were really good.
I can't imagine.
They've got chemistry and they're fun, and she has the potential.
It's so much about Eddie Murphy. You know the way he's in. He just is such a big part.
I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but it tends
could
to
happen.
Could happen.
Yeah.
I
would love if they just brought him back.
Plays his daughter. I've never seen her in anything else. Not familiar to me.
Yeah.
But she really stood beside him. You know the way, and he's a big character.
Presence. He's amazing presence. Yeah.
Absolutely,
there's nothing stop him doing multiples of these.
I would wonder. You know how Netflix? We were saying last week, Netflix throw money at these things like those. I wonder how they. I looked it up. I didn't see that they are planning another one, but I sure hope they are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they did kind of talk about him spending time in LA and
they
that
did
kind of
the
thing
end,
in the
yeah.
movie. So maybe they are. Do you know what it might actually make? It's a great series.
Mm.
It could make a really good series.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. 8 1-hour episodes. Yeah.
Right. Okay, but that's Beverly Hills Cops. Cop. It's available. Subtitle Axel F. It's available on Netflix, and as I say, it's straight to Netflix. Mm. Effectively, I don't think they even have to do token cinema releases now to be considered for awards. But as you said, I don't think they think they're going to be in the Oscars anyway.
No, none of them will be.
It's not that kind of.
It's a fun summer blockbuster, and I think it'll do very well for them because I do think there's an audience. I mean. In my circle of friends, there's a lot of everyone is like, oh, I want to see that. I want to see that. Some of my mates watched it last night.
You could totally sit down now. I mean, because the only thing that's in it is like if you have kind of like mid teenagers and you don't mind them seeing a bit of mild over the top violence, it's you know, there's nothing kind of terrible in it. Like that you couldn't sit down with your teenagers and watch it, and you wouldn't knock a bit of crack out of it. Like on a rainy day, sadly, we're getting loads of them over the summer.
Oh.
It could be.
I mean, there's a lot of gun violence, but there was gun violence in the other
ones
too.
Cop.
Yeah, we saw a lot of it in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
It's a film of people pretending to crash cars and shoot each other. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like as if there's any.
Sasha the bear. She's like 4. She's got the bear by the throat. She's ruining their lives. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a TV show. Don't let your kids watch it if you're worried about them.
Agreed.
Has any of you watched Presumed Innocent on Apple TV? I watched the first episode of
I read about what's the story?
It's
would you give it a?
It's really like
it's getting very mixed reviews. So it's been on my thing.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Renate Reinsz.
Yep.
Ruth Negga.
That's
Peter Sarsgaard, who I believe starred in a film with Russell Crowe. So there you go. That's a local connection.
Well, it's also
your buddy.
Jake Gyllenhaal's brother-in-law.
Yeah, okay. And others, great. I watched the first episode of it. It's
Will
on
you
Apple
watch
TV.
Episode?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a remake, isn't it?
I haven't a clue. The premise of it is, and I'm not really good at this, is Jake works for... you know the way they do it. Do you know the way they do it in America? Like the you're elected. You elect the police or the attorney.
District
I don't
attorney.
Know
yeah.
He's an assistant district attorney. Someone in the law firm is killed quite horrifically, and it's really the first episode is determining, you know, who's investigating it. Is it someone that she'd put in the nick or whatever?
Yes,
and it's very obvious to the emotional.
This
connection
was
that's
a
there.
Film, wasn't
right.
it?
But one question:
Harrison Ford or someone? No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would he be investigating this, not the police?
Well district attorney, like...
Like, he seems to actually be
investigating...
If you
ever watch Law and Order...
Law and Order.
Don't, that's why I'm
Yeah, the ADAs work as investigators. Like, the ADA, if you... On Law and Order, Sam Worthington's character would be the district attorney, and then whoever's co-starring with him is the ADA. And the ADAs sometimes go out and interview suspects.
It's best particularly if it is... and I don't know if this is factual, but according to TV...
Yeah. Yes, well, of course.
Judge me, and I'm not on... But according to TV, the way that it works is that if it's a high-profile case, then the ADA is assigned right at the start.
Okay.
So instead of being just assigned to hand it over, it works either two ways. Either the police do all the investigating, if it's not high profile, then it's handed over to the ADA.
Well, that explains
they
it.
Have their own internal investigators that do extra for them, or it goes the other way, is which high hand profile.
Okay, well, I can watch that.
They
now
get involved in the beginning.
It just wasn't made clear. Katie, thanks very much.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
Katie.
So that's the way TV works in America, legal systems anyway. So.
And of course, then it's about wrapping up crimes ahead of the elections, because then you're seen to be tough on crime.
Tough on crime, yeah.
All of that makes sense. Okay, good stuff. Best ask, I find, rather than guessing. If you've seen Presumed Innocent, all episodes are available now on Apple TV, and I think the last one is the 12th of July. I'll never watch the rest before then because it's just hard to get time to watch TV, I find.
Well, when you're fitting in visits to the president...
Well, the view is like, do I watch these actors and famous people starring in them, or do I actually just go and speak to them?
Yeah, total dilemma there.
Oh, I'm only joking. I think the listeners know I'm only joking. Right, okay. So that's Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F on Netflix. If you've watched it yet, let us know. But Michael, very much enjoyed it. Fionnuala enjoyed it as well. Mm-hmm. Michael coming at it particularly as a fan that can pick out which is best, one, two or three of the originals, which I think that's always sort of... Right, back with more from Michael Fionnuala and other things as well, of course, after these. It is That's Entertainment, where of course we talk to Michael and Fionnuala about all things entertaining, but also we speak to people behind events in the local community, which is a very important part of this part of the programme and our role, I suppose, as a radio station as well. Andy Lamberton is coordinator of Connect Week 2024 with Farn Presbyterian Church. Good morning to you, Andy.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank you very much for joining us. Right, okay, so the public is being invited to the Connect Week 2024, as I said, with Farn Presbyterian Church. It starts the 15th of July, runs to the 21st, and it's a big programme, which I'm going to charge you with picking out the highlights for us, Andy. But I suppose, can you talk to us about the concept behind Connect Week 2024, or any year for that matter?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've been running the Family Fun Day for years and years now. And then over the past, really since COVID, we decided, let's put a number of things together and call it a Connect Week. And I suppose the background of it is, we want to give people in our community the opportunity to connect with God, but also the opportunity to connect with each other. And so each of the programs throughout the week will have those two elements. And then we got stuff for children, stuff for grown-ups, everyone's included.
And it kicks off on the 19th with the Children's Bible Club. So it's clear from the get-go that there is a religious element to this, combined, I suppose, with fun and engaging, you know, with each other within the community.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Monday the 15th kicks off through to Friday the 19th, 10 a.m. for the children. And people can register for that if they like, if they're in the Fáin Buncrana area. Go to faunchurch.org. That's our website, and it's on the homepage there. But then we've also got other stuff. We've got a parent and tots group running through the week. We've got a songs and stories. People can bring their granny to that, or grannies can bring their grandchildren.
That's on the 17th, the Wednesday at 7:30.
Yeah, that's right. So delighted to have Jennifer Dewey from Coleraine in concert that night. So that'll be a really cracking night. And then probably the big celebration for us is the Family Fun Day. So that's a day for everyone. It's all free. It's 12:30 through to 3 p.m. And there's everything from a goat to pet to a burger to eat to games to play to people to see.
It's going to be fun. So. It's putting the fun into Family Fun Day, isn't it? It does what it says in the tin. And then there's a special Sunday service followed by a picnic, which you're invited to bring your own to, on Sunday the 21st of July. That's from 10 a.m.
Yeah, that'll finish it all off for us. So we're really looking forward to the week, you know, and really appreciate the opportunity to mention it.
No problem. And you're looking for everyone in the community, everyone welcome to come along and enjoy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think the main thing is the Bible Club for the children. But there's a youth night as well. Forgot to mention that for secondary school age people on Friday the 19th in the evening. So, yeah, there's a full programme, fawnchurch.org. We'll get you all the details.
Fantastic stuff. You are asked to register as well. Where can people go to find out the information? Fawnchurch.org? Is it
Right. fahanchurch.org.
All right, well done. Best of luck with it. Hopefully the weather plays ball, but I'm sure you've got contingency plans if the big man doesn't play ball with us on these occasions. Right. Okay, thanks very much indeed. Take care of yourself. Andy Lamberton there. That's the coordinator of the Connect Week 2024 with Fawn Presbyterian Church. Right, let's see. A Quiet Place, day one in the cinema. Michael, did you see this one, Fionnuala? Okay.
No.
You're going solo.
I mentioned this a few times, but there was no take-up on this at all.
It was very busy.
Yeah.
I have to say, I watched the trailer because that was enough. He does convince me to go and see things that my initial reaction is no. I watched the trailer. I kind of pee-peed a little. And said no. This is definitely not for me.
Quiet Place.
You have to look at the trailer.
You're going to have a look at the trailer. Are you going to play it? You going to play something?
Can I?
Yeah, I'd say there'd be nothing be objectionable in it.
I'm worried about her doing the wee wees.
I'll close my eyes.
No, it's okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
The premise of it alone is too scary.
Yes. Are you going to play it?
No. You know,
so basically, Quiet Place.
The trailers in the background. What are you talking about?
I thought you were going to play it on air.
I
thought you were going to play it on air.
I played the first
two movies. John Krasinski was heavily involved behind the camera and on camera, and they were very much focused on a family dealing. We didn't know quite what was going on at the beginning of the first movie, but dealing with the fact that there were alien predators roaming the planet, and you had to keep very quiet because they can't see you. But if you make even the slightest sound, they can find you. So this was a very intimate setting, keeping inside like a family home and kind of, staying on that side of things. This prequel takes us right back, totally new characters. Lupita Nyong'o, who is known probably best for the Black Panther movies, is the lead in this story. And it's New York City, and it is the day that the aliens arrived. So it's a very different kind. It's a good thing to do for the franchise, to open it up and completely changed this type of movie. So the first movies were very small. This one is bigger because you get to see the whole city being invaded. But it focuses on this woman and it focuses on her journey through a roughly a 24, 36-hour period. And she's a very interesting lead character to put in a movie like this because when the movie starts, she's living in a hospice and she really only has days to live anyway. So she's a very interesting character to pin the audience's hopes on because she's not a character who's going to survive much longer anyhow. As she knows herself, she's on her last days of life. But we follow her on her journey through the city and she meets some other people. Joseph Quinn, I think, is the actor who pops up a lot. He's going to be in Gladiator 2. He's somebody to watch.
It's shot a certain way. It kind of reminds me of, parts of I can't remember. 24 Hours Later or
those kind of movies,
Or District 9. The gloss that they put on, like we saw in Axel F, for example, that's not there. It looks...
Yeah, it's more down and gritty.
Not grainy,
if
you know what I mean. It's natural lighting.
It's that very natural look. And they're staying... I mean, a lot of this, although you do get to see the aliens more in this movie than in the previous ones, a lot of it is still indoors, keeping quiet. I mean, that's what it's about. They're inside in a theatre for some of it. They're inside in an office block for another. They're in the tunnels under the city at one point, going through the water. If you don't like cramped spaces... Like staying under, Fionnuala's getting uncomfortable here, like lying still under a car, but then the tires on the car are burst and the car starts to come down on top of you, that kind of stuff. If you don't like those kind of things, but if you love that kind of tension, then this is the kind of movie for you. Also, it's a movie that doesn't have a huge amount of dialogue because they can't speak. There's only certain times they can speak, we'll say during a thunderstorm, that kind of stuff. But they have to keep quiet or the aliens will find them. So a lot of it is just people trying to communicate without using words. And this woman has to complete a particular journey. There's something she wants to do before she passes away. And it's her story. And it's what critics have liked about this. Critics have embraced it. 97%
And they're
critics,
saying, go and watch this on the big screen.
Big screen, yeah. Go and see it. This is a cinema movie, definitely.
And they say, what, sort of, some of them say, kind of reinvents the genre.
Oh, it totally does, because it's her story. Look, a lot of alien invasion movies that you've seen, that we've all seen, are usually about defeating the aliens and getting the Earth back and all that. That is not on the table in this movie. It's just one woman's journey. And as critics have embraced the movie, they have said her story is quite affecting because we learn a lot about her and we learn a lot about what she values in the final days of her life, the final hours of her life, and how she has made peace with the fact that she is going to die before the week is out. You know, that's just, she's in very poor health. And I think the actress does a great job of communicating that while at the same time convincing us that she's agile enough to get out of the way of the aliens and can be quiet enough. It's really good. It really works. I still think I preferred the very, very, very first one because it was so fresh and different.
And that was what called A Quiet Place?
That was just A Quiet Place. Okay. And that was very much focused on a family and very much focused on the daughter of the family who's hearing impaired.
Yeah, it sounds to me a little bit that it encroaches on our fears that we actually have, i.e. cramped spaces and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if it's for me.
It may not be for everyone, no, but it is. And it's, we said this before, I don't know if they're horror films exactly, but they're definitely hyper, hyper tension films. I mean, you are on the edge of your seat from the time this starts. Once we figure out what's going on, once she figures out that she can't make a noise.
Was there many in the audience when you were at it?
There was a decent crowd.
What was the sort of audience?
I went in the afternoon. I went in the afternoon, so there was a decent enough crowd for like 3:30 in the day. I seemed to be enjoying it. I didn't do a poll.
I mean in terms of reactions. Oohs and ahs and gasps. And
yeah, well, nothing I perceived. The best person to go to the cinema with, if you want to hear lots of oohs, ahs, popcorn thrown over the place, is sitting right here in the studio with us. If you want your cinema experience to be an immersive 360 experience, have Fionnuala just to your left or your right because you'll hear conversations.
She's the 50.
You know when you're watching DVD?
You know you've got 3D.
Do you remember the DVDs?
Then you've got 4D. That's the 5D.
And you also used to have, do you remember the commentary? You ever put in a DVD, an old DVD that had a commentary and you accidentally have the commentary track on? Sometimes it'll be in it when you hear somebody say,
I have to tell
outfit,
you when I think that something
outfit,
brilliant.
That outfit doesn't make sense during wartime. She wouldn't be wearing bright. You'd be thinking, have I turned on the commentary track on this?
It's the director's cut.
So,
High 90s. So
I can never be quiet. This is why this movie is not. None of these movies
would work.
Did John Krasinski do this one?
He is involved in the story, but he did not direct this. The director of this, I looked it up, the director of this is the person who directed Pig, which was the Nicolas Cage movie that everybody raved about and I still haven't seen. So it's the director who did Pig, who seems to be on a winner 2 for 2. I'd give this a pretty strong 9. Because it's fresh, it's something different. Again, it's still only 3 movies into the franchise, a franchise where the heroes cannot speak, they can only whisper occasionally to each other. And I also thought having a character who is terminally ill as the lead of a story, I think that's
a
good...
I'm thinking, does she get pricked by an alien and she's cured? Like, you know what I mean? Does that happen? Can that happen?
I'm taking my tea here, I'm just taking a good big sip of my tea.
It's not going to be surely that obvious.
So it's...
Oh no, it is. Not possibly.
I'm not saying anything. You're reading a lot into me drinking my tea. I'm just drinking the delicious tea.
You're reading a lot into her condition.
Well, I just think the reason I'm reading a lot into it is I think it's a way to get the audience invested. And it's, you know, normally when you watch these movies, you're rooting for the hero to survive, the hero or heroine to survive. But in this one, it's kind of front loaded that you think, well, if they're not going to survive this story, I have to be invested in something else.
And there's a couple of, there's not many films that sort of capture a moment in time of a wider situation. So this is not Arrival, deal with it, resolve the situation. Yeah. This is a person I can, I've in the back of my head a couple I can't bring to the forefront at the moment.
There was one a few years ago. Do you remember that one that was the found footage one that his name escapes me, which was, we were looking at a camcorder and it was also
the
through
the Blair Witch Project.
No, it was it was the alien father. It was the alien invasion thing, but we saw it all through this footage, this camera. It'll come to me again in a second. But there'd been a few of them. Cloverfield.
Yeah, there's one of those Cloverfields. That's absolutely fantastic. I'm not sure it's that one, but there's one of them that's brilliant, and I don't really like that kind of stuff. It's in a bunker or something.
Yeah. You were on about the newer one.
Yeah, it's actually a really good film.
Yeah, that's what I heard, yeah.
John Basel in aid of TJ's Wish to Walk. It's on the 6th and 7th of July. Doors open at 12 at St. Patrick's Hall in Drumkeen. There's going to be tea, coffee, refreshment, face painting, mascots on the day, and loads of fun and stuff to sell as well if you want to back TJ in her determined wish to walk. Okay, back with more after these. Hi, Greg and Co, and who's giving it welly on What's on the Telly? Leaving Axel F all Friday, but original on Sky Showcase on Saturday, or maybe Michael said it's on Netflix. As far as I know, Eddie is 66. I don't want to reference people's age directly because it feels a bit ageist, but I mean, he does not look 66. That's just the bottom line. Yeah. He's still some mover, that Murphy. But have you seen Supercell on Netflix? Different view on accidental superhero, sort of like Misfits, but made for good viewing. I don't know if Finola made it to Swift. Maybe she shook it off.
No.
As forget the Taylor Quake after Galway v Dublin, the West's awake.
I know.
Another 12 for the Galway girl, as we'll all have another poke going to croak. Hashtag Jimmy's winning matches.
There you go.
And it's kind of fascinating because there's lots of, obviously, it's nice that you know, it's a West Coast semi-final, if I can put it like that there. But from our perspective, obviously, Finola and the family from Galway, these kind of connections, and there's connections with the higher echelons.
I'm trying to get tickets to go to see this match, and they seem to be doing them through the clubs and kinds of things.
No, they were on general sale on Ticketmaster.
We'll get on again.
I mean,
do they not know who I am? We've got to pay for tickets. It's terrible. But just, if anybody has 2 minutes, I have to say Ollie Turner was hilarious. He is the Oisin Kelly of Galway Bay FM. And when Galway beat Dublin and the final whistle blew, he said his winning line was, "Jesus, Mary and Joseph, forget about Taylor Swift. Shake it off and leave the Aviva and come over here to Croke Park and see the Galway team as they run onto the pitch." It was hilariously funny.
There's still tickets available. Sure, it's 80,000.
I know, but it's like how much?
140 quid.
Oh, that's not bad.
If you want to stand on the hill.
Oh my God, buddy, I'm way too old to stand
section
on the
336,
hill.
Not
I'm still
bad.
On the hill since the 80s.
55. In the corner, it's 55.
Okay, back corner, 55. Secretly, I just want freebies and I don't understand why I can't have them.
Doesn't work.
I know.
Not actually,
I feel like Croke Park should know who I am.
A lot of the seats are taken in the prime spots. A lot of them are just up the back, you know, behind the goal, high behind the goal.
I like to be in the middle where
there is some there. I think I
like to be in where the Hogan is, where kind of up where the president's box is.
Of course you do.
I like to be near him.
Section 336.
He's actually not going to be at the semi final. Probably I should. Maybe we should call him and ask him. Can I have his ticket?
Actually, there really isn't many seats available.
Oh, it's going to be a big one now. Because in fairness, the rivalry
between
the two
counties. Section 336 at the corner, and then up the back. Up the back behind the goal to the right somewhat, 7:18 to 7:13. That's all that's available. And then there is Deneen Hill. There's some standing there. So
Jesus, now you're making me panic.
Well, if you're looking for a seat, sort of, you know, anywhere along the sides, your banjacks.
This is where I get on my phone and I go, "Daddy, Daddy."
Called me Daddy in 20 years. What's going on?
I know. This is where I go, "Daddy, I need tickets." And then I wait for him to sort out. And then I'll pay him next Tuesday.
Of course.
The funny thing is, she actually will pay. And if she doesn't, he will remind her via WhatsApp. I still haven't received. That's where she gets it from, if you get her to order tickets. 6 years later.
Are you still in the Taylor Swift queue? Because if you are, I really have bad news for you.
I know, I have. Taylor Swift has ruined herself for me now.
Oh, it's no Christmas card this year.
I am starting her downfall.
Yeah.
Me and me alone are in the non-Taylor Swift.
Put on the plug.
By the way, Swifties, it's Finola Rabbit, Kerry O'Brien.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a meanie.
I wouldn't take them on.
She doesn't seem to know who I am. It's terrible.
I know. We see she could have done Croke Park 5 nights.
I know. I mean, in fairness, she could totally have done an original.
Oh, there's a trailer I saw during the week.
I would like to go to Coldplay. If anyone wants to bring me to Coldplay.
Really?
Yeah. I would really like to go and see Coldplay. I don't ask for anything and I get nothing. If anyone wants to take me to Coldplay, please.
Fairness now, the Glastonbury, you'd like Coldplay now because there's no show.
It's just
Coldplay. Exactly.
They don't come in on a trapeze.
I mean, the only show, they have a bit of a light show. That's about it.
With the wristbands, yeah. I think they really were the first adopters. They were the first adopters of the coloured lip, you know, the wristbands, and then they're all controlled by Bluetooth, so they can.
Yeah, they just all go all over the place.
I think they were the first.
I think they actually
invested in that company, you know.
Well, they're very big into it anyways, even back. Do you remember when they did the Yellow Tour?
Yep.
Their stage lighting is very dramatic. And that's their show. You know the way it's in other, like as you reference Pink all the time, that she's like a trapeze artist. She was swinging left, right and everywhere. But Coldplay have always really heavily, their show is always really their lighting.
Light based.
I want two tickets to Coldplay, right? And I've just come up with a great idea. So if you're listening out there, switched off. Aisling's birthday's coming up. Imagine if I got her two tickets to Coldplay. That'd be a great present. But it would actually be for me.
There you go. You'd be treating her.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't think I'm going to get to go, but we shall see.
I never realised you were into Coldplay.
No, I don't. But I just, you know, like we were talking on the way back from Dublin. And in terms of the ticket off kind of stuff, do you know, if you're looking at who's out there at the moment, who I'd be really keen to see or who, you know, like... The list is quite small,
gotcha.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But Coldplay would certainly be up there because of the quality of their output. You know, the bottom line is there's lots of artists now, and I think sort of J-Lo figured this out and others are figuring out. You actually have to have a lot of number one hits. And there's an awful lot. Like, they had to cancel the J-Lo residency because she actually doesn't have the hits to sell tickets. Taylor Swift does to some extent, but arguably, in terms of number ones...
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, there are bands that... Like, Pink, her catalogue is probably a little thin. Is that controversial?
The beauty of Pink is that it's her original catalogue.
Yeah, I get
that. She just reworks it.
Yeah, I know, but...
Which is awesome.
If you want
to watch... 12 songs and she just keeps redoing them over and
over
again.
Exactly.
That's a bit harsh.
But she's got some cracking songs, right?
She has, yeah. I've heard early albums,
but,
yeah.
But that's exactly what's in her concert.
The early stuff.
Is whatever, you know, the two or three
just
early
like
albums.
Just Like a Pill, Let's Get This Party Started.
Mm-hmm. Family Portrait.
The biggest song from her concert that got the biggest pop and the biggest audience interaction was... Four Non Blondes.
Really?
Yep. Her cover of Four Non Blondes.
Right.
That was the biggest pop.
That was the biggest response from
across
that. Gotcha.
You could see little songs that come out whereby, you know, there was pockets that enjoyed them, but her biggest song was Four Non Blondes.
Okay.
Yeah. What's Hey Ya? Isn't it?
Yeah, I know the one you mean. It was big in the... Yeah, I know that.
So, Hey, what's going on?
Atlantic 252 played it.
I just thought that was kind of interesting. But I think there's an awful lot of artists touring that don't have the songs. Lewis Capaldi saw him. He's got a lot of brilliant songs.
Mm-hmm.
Garth Brooks. I'm only going by the ones I've seen. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of ones touring and booking big stadiums and they don't have the songs to sell it out.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break. Back with more from Michael and Fionnuala after these. Alan Riley of Carlo Weather is going to be joining us hopefully in a couple of minutes, sort of to see if the models are giving us any cause for optimism. And it's not just, you know, good weather. It's actually, it's very quite damaging for those maybe who have turf or those who are farming in terms of getting your first cut, your second cut, maybe even a third cut, when you can put down your fertiliser or feed or whatever it might be, feeding cattle, feeding sheep. Do you know what I mean? Like, so...
totally watch Clarkson's Farm. I know exactly what you mean.
You and Clarkson. Is he your secret crush or something, I wonder?
No, he just teaches me all about farming.
Yeah, I think farmers might say he's teaching you a version of farming. Should we do something from RTE Crossfire? Because it's a good old terrestrial effort.
I know, and to be honest, I'm not normally watching RTE, but... I had visitors, so we were watching it. And this is very good.
Can I actually just hold you for a second?
You
because
can.
I know Alan's got an awful lot on, as we all do. But Alan's joined me now, and I appreciate your time. Alan Riley of Carlo Weather, good morning to you. Thanks so very much for it.
Good morning, Greg. How are we doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Alan. You know, you're love to be the bearer of good news, I suppose. Where we can see really quite deep into July now, such as the expertise of the likes of yourself. Are we seeing anything that would indicate good news for those who like the outside, those in the farming community, etc.?
Nothing really very good. Less rainfall maybe after the middle of next week. and slowly starting to get temperatures back to normal, not above normal, but back to normal. The last 10 days of July do show some promise at the moment, but really when you go that far out, you're looking at unreliable weather charts. So it's kind of hope as much as anything at this stage. I think we all need a bit of hope though, Greg.
What's influencing our weather at the moment, Alan?
So we have low pressure systems and we have northerly, northwesterly winds, which I don't need to tell you guys up there about. So basically the weather is coming from the north rather than from the south. And that's why the heat is not getting up. It's not even getting as far as France, actually, at the moment. Even Western France is cooler than normal. But yeah, we're kind of stuck in this pattern where the jet stream is over us or south of us, when really we want the jet stream to be well further north of us to let that heat and settle us over us high up. So it's been very unsettled and it's going to stay that way for the next couple of days and into the early days of next week at least.
Okay, but as you say, loads of caveats, health warnings, potentially heading towards the end of July. We don't know, but there's keep an eye on it. Is that the message?
Yeah, well, I think there's a chance, and at this stage we'll take a chance because it's been so bad.
It feels significant, a chance. Okay, thanks very much, Alan. That's Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather. So the weather we're having at the moment to persist pretty much until the middle of the next week. It'll be drier. Temperatures will creep up to where you might expect them at this time of year, and some potential positive good news, if you want good weather, heading towards July. Now, pardon my ignorance, Fionnuala. Crossfire on RTE, you were going on to that.
Yeah, so Crossfire stars Keely Hawes, and to be honest, I couldn't even write down the list of everybody else, but there's so many faces in this that you will recognise from lots of different shows that you watch, particularly if you watch a lot of BBC. It is a BBC production. It's very gripping. You'll definitely kind of be on the edge of your seat with you. But I have to say, the premise of it, do you remember there was a time when you used to watch things on television and you were like, oh my God, this is amazing, because it seems so far-fetched. But sadly now, you just spend your whole time watching stuff thinking, oh yeah, that happened such and such a time. And this is terrible. Basically, Keely Hawes and her husband, plus their daughter and their son, are on holidays with three other families that they're all like kind of long time, like nearly college friends, that kind of an idea. And they're away in some distant foreign location. We're never really kind of given the exact location. And they're in this beautiful, all expenses paid resort. And all of a sudden, halfway through the middle of the day, gunmen arrive and just start to randomly... So far, there's only been two episodes, so I don't know what they're specifically looking for, if anything, these gunmen, but they just seem to be walking around shooting people. Keely Hawes is an ex-police officer, so she starts taking control and, trying to get people to safety and all that kind of thing. And basically, that's what it's about. But it's very gritty. It's very kind of like, don't watch this the night before you take your flight to go on holidays, because you'll definitely be like, oh God, throw a bit of the heebie-jeebies into you. But it's just really well done. There's a lot of great actors in it, really good characters. There's a lot of underlying tension, as you can imagine would happen when a group of, couples that get together that have known each other a long time. There's different things happening in everybody's different marriage. They get separated. They're all in different parts of the hotel. Some of them are out, some of them are in. All this kind of thing. There's tension where smaller kids go missing. They don't know nobody knows who's alive or dead. There's no communication within the hotel. And it's just... to be honest now, it's on RTE. As I said, there's been two episodes up so far. You can watch it back on the player if you want to catch up.
Is this a new thing or just something RTE picked up from the BBC?
RTE picked it up from the BBC, but I missed it completely.
James Nesbitt in it?
It had... No.
Wow, okay.
No. I saw this a few years ago when it was new. I saw this, the whole thing, yeah. And I have to say, I review and rate everything and I collate the numbers at the end of the year. At the end of that year, it was the bottom of the list. I thought it was terrible. I think it fell apart at the end.
Oh, well,
fell apart
not
at the end.
To the end yet.
Because once they get back to England, it falls apart.
Oh, now you make me not want
so
to finish
get,
it to the end.
They get back to England.
Some of them do. Some of them do.
Some die. What is going on?
Spoiler alert.
Whole other characters.
There you go. The one thing I watch on RT.
One of them, she meets
an
alien, it bites her, and she gets cured of all her... It's the Keely Hawes character, and that solves their problems at the end, Greg. Would I lie to you, Greg?
I like Keely Halls, I have to say, though. I find her a really strong character, and she's very believable in not quite a
well, 5.7 out of 10,
figure.
Which on IMDb is not
is not great.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a great
I'm
review.
I'm only two in, like, give me a chance.
I know, maybe yeah, but there's a great I think I reviewed the first,
nice
I think I gave the first episode
situation.
Like an 8 when I was reviewing it.
Yeah,
like an 8.
I really enjoyed
but then
it
I started
and
to
then
follow.
The second one I thought was quite good as
there's
well.
There's a great review written by, I think it might have been a lady who writes the TV reviews, maybe for The Guardian or The Times or something, but she her take on it was, if you like corridors, if you like people whispering in corridors and people having their phones on at a time when they definitely
oh, this
shouldn't.
Is, I remember you viewing this, reviewing
yeah.
this now.
She was
episode 1, 6.6, episode 2, 6.4, episode 3, 5.9, and well, they didn't bother even adding the plot for episode 4 on IMDb, so I don't know what that means.
Well, now you're just
but
reading.
I want to know what.
Well,
no,
gonna,
I want to know.
No,
I want to
no,
know what you think of the end of it.
Sure
you see,
now,
I love the ending.
Point? What's the point? What's
well,
the point?
I
you put me off watching it now.
I give all the.
I apologise.
You haven't put me off the Fast and the Furious. You got to dig in and you got to love the thing you love, yeah, Fanuli. You got to love what you love.
I know, but I wouldn't say I love it. I just
but
thought
you have
it
to
was
enjoy
good.
It.
And I definitely felt afterwards.
Won't
I was
you
like
get
on.
Satisfaction from watching
can
the last
say,
episode and saying to me,
people,
you're wrong, Michael. You're wrong. You're wrong,
that's
Michael.
One person. Most people who watched it thought it was better than bad. So, in other words, they thought on the swingometer, more of them thought it swings towards very good than very bad. So that's what the majority of people
yeah.
think, 2,500. Yeah. So don't listen to that.
Don't listen to me.
Fine.
Don't ever listen
so
to me.
That's Crossfire, Keely Hawes, that has
that
four episodes, but Finn's never going to watch 3 and 4 now.
Oh,
oh,
I should
come here.
I should have kept quiet.
No. Listen.
You'll get great satisfaction from saying, you're wrong, Michael, you're wrong.
Exactly.
Trust me.
I really enjoyed it.
Right.
Say.
Listen, thank you so much, Fionnuala Rabbit. Quickly, Wicked. What
Wicked.
Do you want to mention?
Yes,
Wicked,
no,
you?
I just wanted to mention, sorry, I didn't get a chance to give it a proper mention. Wicked is a musical that's on. Over 65 million people have seen it. $1 billion taken since its release in 2003. We are bringing a trip. A lot of people may not think that they've seen it, but it is definitely worth checking out. We are taking a trip up there on August the 9th. And we have a final few tickets left if anybody would like to join us. It is one of the 10 longest running musicals of all time. It's one of those musicals that's kind of based on The Wizard of Oz, and it's how the Good Witch and the Bad Witch became who they are in the actual Wizard of Oz movie.
Fantastic.
Check out some of the music and I think you will find that you'd
look
like
at some
to come
of the YouTube videos, you'll enjoy it, and then come along to the store on Highland Radio and book your tickets and we
absolutely.
Take care of all of the hassle of going to see a show. Tickets, transport, accommodation and everything. 100%. Check it out. All right, thank you very much indeed. Fionnuala Rabbit, Michael Leddy. Listeners, we'll chat to you on Monday at 9.